Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The verses for this morning's sermon are from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning at the 44th verse. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. And pray for those that spitefully use you and persecute you. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. This is the gospel. Dennis the Menace is sitting at the table and he's looking at his dessert and he comments, I think tapioca pudding started out to be something and then gave up. Our pursuit of the Christian life could have placed on it the same sentiment. Usually, it starts out to be something, and then it gives up. As we are faced with the urgings of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning, inviting us to a life that is totally different than the world's way, and has in it even the possibility of total destruction, we do have feelings like that's not possible, that's even stupid, or all things have to be weighed against their relative balance so that no one becomes fanatic in this. You see, there is a great temptation not to do what the Lord invites, encourages, indeed commands us to do in these verses. First of all, because we know that if we follow what Jesus asks here, we open ourselves, almost sort of spread eagles, for anybody with any kind of hate or pain or suffering or damage to just charge right through. We know that it's dangerous to turn the other cheek. It's painful to go the other mile. Indeed, it's stupid sometimes to let people take advantage of us and then use us, destroy us, and throw us away, or as the humorous sign goes, that's why we give up. We also sometimes give up because we think about it too much. We find it not wise to live this way. If we were to live this way, there would be only ruin and destruction left at the end of it all. And so the wise way is to somehow or other negotiate the rationalized waters of faith and life as best as possible and try to have a veneer of holy goodness. We sort of think, well, I really don't feel that I can give up all that much, but a little bit will suffice. And in the face of Jesus' invitation for total giving of ourselves and living for him, we are the ones that are found wanting and who gave up. However, that doesn't have to be that way. You see, Jesus Christ is both an example of how we can live, and also the power to do what he invites us to do. That's what we call the gospel. If we really believe that the gospel changes lives, then we have to believe also that the gospel can change our lives. And that we don't need to give up on the Christian life. It was some of that feeling that probably was involved in Martin Luther's famous explanation about what happens in the morning when we remember our baptism. Again, the new man, not the one who's afraid of the dangerous consequences of living for Christ, not the one that somehow explains away the necessities of living for Christ totally, but the one that is the new man in Christ, who himself did what he invites us to do. It was on the cross that we find Jesus Christ satisfying the requirement of the other cheek, the second mile, and on and on and on and on and on. It's on the cross that he, who some said couldn't save himself, saved us. And there he, Jesus Christ, our Lord, becomes the power for our new lives and our new ways of living. Indeed, the power for our perfection. The invitation is, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. As someone put it, it is the gospel of the Father who loves his enemies and the Son who serves that makes people capable of obeying the law and glorifying their Father in heaven, who makes people, who makes you and I capable of obeying the law and giving glory to our Father in heaven. We don't sit at the table pondering the unsearchable pudding. The scriptures tell us that it's clear. The gospel makes us new. And we are the people that can do what Jesus Christ invites us to do by his very power. As H. Grady Davis put it in his book about homiletics, my friends, there is no such thing as love, something up there in the sky. There are only lovers. You and I are those lovers. And we are lovers in Christ because Christ first loved us. Amen.